In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, and Louise Reed as we share very openly and honestly about our journeys and stories and help you navigate the necessary change cycle of disruption, disorder, and reordering that God has you in the middle of. Join us for this episode. Hello, loyal listeners, and a very warm welcome once again to another episode, fresh episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark, and the glorious
Louise Reed.
That was very speedy.
You sounded like you had an urgency about you, so I thought I'd better match your tone.
Well, there we go. We have quite a lot to talk about. This actually really an understanding of the season that we are in. Mm-hmm. And we got our coffee. We actually just had tea. Lunch.
Tea. Got tea.
I don't think I often know you drinking coffee.
Rarely. I feel coffee's quite a grown-up drink to me. So when I'm feeling like I need to be grown up, I'll have a coffee. So, I do actually drink coffee more than I used to.
But yeah. Only for grown-up moments.
Grown-up moments or, yeah, if I'm honest, I'm a tea girl.
Yes.
Yeah. I think tea is much more social.
You're Irish.
Yeah. Much more social. I think
sorry,
that...
How do you...
because coffee is pretentious. There's a whole spirit of snobbery and pretentiousness that's attached to coffee that isn't in the same way attached to tea. As long as you keep to bog standard tea bags, no funny business. No flavours, no smells, no potions. It's got to be a decent normal tea bag.
You literally have the class behind the glass shaking their heads in despair.
So this is the season that we're in.
Continue. Unless
Emma.
You're in Taiwan and you're having a tea ceremony.
Well, that's different. That's completely different. But can I tell you, there is no tea ceremony in Ireland apart from a decent pot in the middle of the kitchen table.
There we go. Right. Now that we've put the worlds right, I prefer coffee.
Well, I know you do. And yeah. Okay. Well, there's a lot of places we could go with this. I was thinking Americans, tea, and why they call it a tea kettle. Why not just a kettle? Why does that have to be a tea kettle?
I have no idea.
I have no idea either. Very strange.
Is why they call it the sidewalk and not the pavement.
Or why the eyeglasses and not just glasses. I mean, you're not going to put them anywhere else in front of any other part of your body. So why do you have to call them eyeglasses? They're just glasses. Okay. Americans, we love you.
We are.
Seriously.
We are all
but
a peculiar people.
Every group of people has their eccentricities. Even the Irish, I'm told, although I've never found any eccentricity.
Shall we just bring the word of the Lord?
Yeah.
I'm glad you're with us and you're still with us. You've got to this point. Well done.
Breathe, everyone.
We are your entertainment for 30 seconds. Right. Okay. So we are in, I think, a very need-to-know stage in the reordering of the people of God.
Uh-huh.
And it's important to announce, as prophets do, the season and the timings.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to start, we need to know four words right now. We tend to start with disruption, word one.
Mm-hmm.
Disruption brings or leads to word two, disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Disorder should eventually lead you to reorder,
mm-hmm.
and then you establish a new order.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have just hit the reordering.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have to talk about the two seasons that we've been through of disruption, mm-hmm. and disorder, so that we navigate the reordering that is now well.
Mm-hmm.
And an understanding of, because prophets know the timings and the seasons, mm-hmm. as best as we can, mm-hmm. what we should if we're any good. Because we do know that, we do need to help you unhook from the emotions that were in the disruption and disorder cycle,
mm-hmm.
so that you don't miss the pace. Pace is the word of the moment. So that you don't miss the pace. Mm-hmm. And I'm clicking my fingers almost like a heartbeat or a heavenly rhythmic pace. So that you don't miss the pace and the emotions of the reordering,
mm-hmm.
by being snarled up in the cycle of disruption and disorder. So we're mm-hmm. going to help you out and bat these concepts mm-hmm. back and forth. Some people call this the grief cycle. It's mm-hmm. well known in leadership. Do you mm-hmm. want to comment on that before we unpack the emotions?
Well, I just think for us to know that this order is kind of common to man.
Yes.
It's common in terms of how even business they would see when and in any sort of reforming mm-hmm. scenario that this is a process and a pattern that happens, and knowing how to navigate it both in terms of mindset mm-hmm. and emotional regulation.
Yes.
And choices within it, and when the permission and the speed at which mm-hmm. And how people move, how different people move in different ways between, and some people move quicker than others depending on gift.
Yes.
And
you,
call.
You can announce a stage too early.
Yes.
And then you really cause problems. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about change and necessary change. Most people actually can't go through too many significant changes in a life because we're not so skilled at navigating them. Now, we do live change on a day-to-day basis, but real significant, weighty change, you only get a few goes at that level of mm-hmm. major transformation in a lifetime. And many people actually refuse to take the final two major changes. And that's where in your 40s and 50s and 60s, you get bored, frustrated, capped. Did I miss something? Mm-hmm. I know there's more to me than I've currently seen released. And it's the inability to leap into probably the final two major transformation points, major change points that a life goes through. Now, we know that you tend to now have between 5 and 7 career changes, whereas in previous generations, you were in one job for life. So we know that there are significant jump points. And you need to know, first of all, if you're 45 and above, you may need to yet do 2 major life leaps, mm-hmm. which will probably mean house moves, mm-hmm. May often mean nation moves if we're really brave, and will certainly mean job moves mm-hmm. and anointing shifts of gear as well. So I think the problem is that change always starts with disruption, and that brings with it the emotion of unsettledness and loss. Mm-hmm. When we're at the beginning of change, I don't feel secure. I feel disrupted. Now, you hope that that is the Spirit of God doing that. Mm-hmm. You need to know how to banish it if it's not. And you feel like there's more. Now, you need to allow that there is more and the unsettledness move you. You need to not cut it out, shut it down, ignore it. Mm-hmm. And that brings a sense of loss. Because unsettledness does, disruption does, something that worked doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Something that was brilliant no longer satisfies. And that works in many ways, friendship, relationally, church, job, position, geography. Mm-hmm. Do you want to comment on that first one? Unsettledness, loss and disruption.
Yeah.
The acknowledgement something doesn't work.
Yeah. And we got to know ourselves, be self-aware as well as aware of our scenarios, because we need to be able to find out why we're unsettled, because you get that unsettled feeling.
Yes.
And sometimes we war against it, thinking we should always be content, but the kingdom of God is always advancing. So in the understanding of the kingdom, disruption is you have got to expect it at various times, and it can come and it can begin with that feeling of unsettledness, or there can be something that is a catalyst to it, an external thing that happens. But when it comes, the last thing you should do is panic and think that something's wrong. It is about the initiative of God. God is on the move and he's doing something. I mean, I've often referred to the disruption thing as divine disruption. You just call it disruption because it doesn't necessarily, you know, it can come from other places, but it's always under the sovereignty of God.
Yes.
But when it happens, you know that there is no point in resisting this. And the quicker you get with the program, the better. And that is something that I think in if we are of a religious mindset, or if we are very church orientated in terms of sticking with structure, we find this very difficult, because disruption comes and we immediately want to go to steady the ship or steady ourselves or steady one another rather than going, actually, this disruption is unto something.
Yes.
And therefore, we need to go through the cycle of this at every level in terms of how we think, how we pray, how we seek God in it, but also how we look after ourselves. And so we allow the process metabolize in us spirit, soul, and body.
Now, you and I think as instinctive pioneers, I would never say of you and Nigel or David and I, we are settlers by instinct. But I am related to some people who are settlers by instinct. Mm. And they just never let this phase even really
never much. Happens.
It never happens.
No.
Or it's once in a lifetime. Whereas to the pioneers, you do actually need to get quite skilled at, I feel unsettled. Now, understand what's driving that. There is more.
Yes.
There is more. And this doesn't work.
Yeah.
And that is, I think that is for those of us who go from glory to glory. And that is perfectly acceptable.
I mean, it's very, very biblical.
You and I quite like the disruption phase.
Now, there's an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
I like theoretical disruption.
Uh-huh.
I like concept of disruption, mm-hmm. but the commitment to going with disruption and the effect, when we move to the second one, the disorder, I'm not so comfortable.
I would agree with you there because I'm quite content to feel unsettled. I think the prophet dynamic, the revelatory dynamic, there's a lot of I'm unsettled because like if I walk into your nation, I walk into your church, I'm often unsettled by the fact that something's not working here and I want more for you and the Lord wants more for you. And we're aware that collectively we're going to provoke disruption.
And this is where we've got to understand ourselves because when I was young and before I realized this was a sort of prophetic motivation, I would walk into any situation that was settled and ordered. And I had an instinctive reaction to almost provoke upset. So I got labelled as being a rebel without a cause. That's what they used to call me in the family. Oh, she's a rebel without a cause. Until I realised that actually there was a God-given something that was a provocation unto more. Don't get settled. There's always more.
So the stage two, the disorder stage, I actually think that is really challenging.
Yes, very.
Because you are now beyond the there's more. You've acknowledged that. You've been aware that you might need to lose the status quo. You've been content in that thought or you've learned how to hold that thought. But disorder is where you've moved from this doesn't work and there is more to I have no idea now what to do.
Yeah. Because this is almost like the winter season. There's disorder. There has to be death to some things.
Yes.
There isn't the creativity yet of the new. There can maybe only the hope of that. But this, the disorder bit, is when it is dying and going into the ground and you're going, I have no idea what's going on here and I don't really know what's going to come out of this.
So, I mean, if we talk about disruption being autumn, but disorder being winter, I think it's the biting of the disorder. I don't know where to go. I don't know what I'm doing. The door is not obvious.
Yeah.
And you feel that you move from being unsettled into wandering.
It can
often feel a little bit aimless. And you move from a sense of loss, but actually maybe a content loss. I'm happy to lose the status quo into a fear. And the fear is I don't know how to step into
the next. Mm, yeah.
And it feels very fear-based.
It can do. You can feel very unanchored in that point because even when people ask you, you don't know what you're doing. Because you don't know yet. And it is a kind of, it's you've closed the door, you've burnt your bridges because of the disruption that's happened.
Yes.
So those bridges have blown up and gone to the past, mm-hmm. but you're not yet into the order of the future.
Yeah.
So you're kind of in that bit of limbo land.
I think we find a lot of pioneers rather than settlers, a lot of pioneers stuck in loss, fear loops.
Yes.
Where you actually have to pray, Jesus, it's time for this disruption, disorder to become a reordering.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to move now. I need to shift. Mm. I need to have an understanding of the reordering of my life. Where is my tribe? Where is my alignment? Where are my new sets of friends that hold a portion for my next part of my journey? Where is the geography? Where is the place? And so the third thing is called reorder, because one day disorder stops.
Yes.
And what that should be marked by is strong vision. Mm-hmm. You suddenly come into an understanding and you contend for vision. And suddenly with vision comes peace and a sense of, oh, now you're not fully there yet, but something has clicked within you. Now, the problem is you can do unsettled loss in disruption and then announce a vision too soon.
Oh.
And you must go through the emotions. You must go through loss. You must go through a sense of wandering and maybe a little bit of fear, even a little bit of buyer's regret over the call of God on your life.
Lots of questioning,
because these are healthy emotional cycles.
It's the process. You have to go through it.
It is the process. Now, at this point, this journey should create brilliance.
Hmm.
It's not about creating comfort, but it should create brilliance. And you have to get into the pace of this and not get stuck in early loops. Now, from reorder, oh, right, I've got the vision. I'm feeling a bit more at peace because I think I understand where, who, how, what. You then hit new order.
Mm-hmm.
Now, new order is when something is being built and when it is running well and it has a sense of hope within it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, ultimately, in time, that new order will take you right back to disruption where you go, oh man, this doesn't work again.
Yeah.
So you do want your new order to be your longest time, because that's where you run and you build.
Yes.
And that is where you get measurable fruit.
Yeah, there's fruit.
Measurable fruit living in a place of great hope and building is a very sweet spot. And you don't want to disrupt too quickly and pull people out of a new order that needs solidified. Neither do you want to stay in disruption, disorder, where reordering a new order are not ever possible. So in all of these cycles of life that create these movements, you can see on people, you can see on somebody that your organization might actually be in a new order, but somebody in the midst of you actually has to go on a different personal journey.
For sure.
And you have to bless them into their own personal disruption, but not allow it to hit the organization.
Mm-hmm.
You got to allow a disruption, move somebody on. And this is where we got to learn how to leave well.
Yes. And this is the same in the church, in ministry, as it is in business. This is a cycle.
Yes.
And we have to always be able to discern between what is the cycle of, quote, the organization or what God is doing in let's say it's a church, what God is doing in that, but what God is doing in an individual, where it's the one cycle doesn't fit with the other.
Yeah.
And we have to learn to be able to bless one another in that. Now, that, of course, is within the context of what he's doing universally, but there's always going to be different rhythms and people at different stages
in the cycle. Yes.
And that's just the way it is.
Good leadership should be able to navigate that well.
I think
David and I have certainly got a little bit better at this over the years because of this understanding that actually we might be in a reorder or a new order, but you individually might be in a disruption season where God is moving you And I need to help you navigate that well and actually release you in that apostolic sending rather than grab you to wrongly stay.
Yeah. And I think that with a bit of experience, and if you've been through a number of these cycles,
yes,
you understand what it is to be out of, to be in your own cycle, but maybe within an organization or a scenario or a church or whatever it is, that is in a different part of that cycle. And if you can understand that, you know, so I might be in a personal disruptive cycle.
Yes.
That part of the cycle.
Yes.
But I may be in working within an organization that's actually well into their new order. So understanding your own season and the season of where you're planted is very important.
It's massively
because
important.
As I suggested that, you know, it's like winter, autumn, winter, disorder is the real winter. But reorder is the spring.
It is.
Because the shoots are starting to come. Life is starting to come back.
Yeah.
And then the sweet spot is the new order of the summer
months, of the long evenings and much fruit.
Absolutely
is. I was having a conversation, and actually one of our trustees within the last 10 days, who's fairly senior in the nation and is an HR specialist. And their comment to David and I was, people leave places all the time.
Yeah.
People move all the time.
Yes, absolutely.
And they move within employment consistently.
Yeah.
But an awful lot of people do that very well. And they get sent, released, hand in their notices. And the conversation took the direction of, with the exception of the people of God. And why do the people of God not seem to be able to leave? I know I'm talking in very broad brushstrokes here.
No, but it's a good point.
But why do the people of God not seem to leave as well as those who are just progressing up the career ladder and knowing that that culture doesn't really work for them? And so they hand in their notice and they go. And we don't seem to be able to have understood that your new order by God is not my new order, and it's okay for me to feel unsettled and to jump.
Yeah, I think particularly in the church, it's so complex because we are a body.
Yes.
And we belong to one another in a way that I'd suggest possibly in business or other scenarios, it isn't the same.
Yeah.
When you break bread with somebody and you're in those level of covenant relationships, it does change things. Mm. But it should, in a perfect world and in maturity, give us the greatest privilege and ability to then send. So when it is right for somebody to move on, it is our joy to, it's an apostolic call to release and send without feeling like there's fault somewhere. We're always looking for someone to blame.
And it's not healthy.
Rather than actually sending and releasing in the best way.
If we use the body imagery in that cycle, and I'm going to quote something from Job 5. I felt like I grew up within Irish Baptist, traditional conservative church structures, which actually was very good for me. And theologians and thinkers and Bible scholars, ten a penny. But I felt there that probably that was the spine of the church. Maybe it was a backbone.
Yeah.
The solidity of truth.
Yeah.
It had a strength, that the Baptist structure had a strength to it that was very suited for my father. But I always felt a little bit like, oh, I could get the good from it. There was no angst in that. But I did feel disrupted by what was I disrupted by? It wasn't the hand punching.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't the teeth biting, or it wasn't, you know, the hand of war. And I often felt like if I'm anywhere on the body, it's one of those sorts of places, but I'm probably not the backbone. And so it was okay for a movement within from the backbone to the punching hand that I was going to start to shake something.
Uh-huh.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
But how you move around that is very important.
But you're touching into something really interesting because I would have said, and some others, that some of the best charismatic leaders who came into the things of the spirit in the 80s and 90s in the British Isles.
Which was us. Yes.
Had a background of Baptist or Brethren.
Yes.
They were word-based. They were solid foundation. They knew good theology. They knew the word, which allowed them the ability to pioneer into the things of the spirit. Now, we're in a completely different phase and season now.
I mean, we really are. I would agree with that, because we chose to be charismatic because we had read the Bible.
Yes.
Not because we'd no idea what it
said. We read the book and realized what we were missing.
Yes. So in all of that, you'll feel maybe a personal disruption because you're not in the part of the body that you're actually called to be in. Do that leaving well. Now, I actually think on the whole, and we are going to use some broad brushstrokes here, I think on the whole, we are in the reorder part of the story of God.
Yeah, mostly.
That we're there. We've had disruption, we've had disorder, and we are beginning a reorder. We're beginning to catch a vision again. Mm. We're beginning to feel a little bit more at peace. We're beginning to understand that disorder will stop. Why? Mm. Because we have to be able to build a reorder, to solidify it, to become a new order before world wars start to break.
Can I just say on that, Emma, there is risk, and there is every stage is problematic.
Yes.
If we don't make the right choices. And in the reorder, let's say we're calling it the spring season of new hope, new vision, new birth, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
We have got to be really careful that we don't try and birth something of the old. I mean, I have had this ringing in my ears for the last couple of weeks, because we are not going back. We're advancing kingdom. The reorder that is coming is not re as in just doing the old order another time. Mm. It's a reordering. So it's going to look different and feel different. And we must resist any old thoughts and allow God to put his creative word in us and creative vision, so that what springs forth is of him and not of us, not the old.
I actually do think that even as pioneers as you and I are, and as lovers of the disruption stage, where something sneaks up within you, but you recognize it because of agency, you go, oh, there's more. Oh, we're going around this again. There's more. You know, I'm made for more. I think when you hit the reorder, because of the bravery that particular season requires, I'm not so sure that disruption and disorder require bravery. They actually more require irritation. But reorder requires bravery.
It does, courage.
And that bravery is hard, because you must lose sentimentality.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think I always like the thought of the losing of comfort, because I think you're comforted by on Christ the solid rock I stand. So by this stage of life, you know you're rock solid, certain in Christ. Comfort is from him. So it's not necessarily a loss of comfort. It's a loss of sentimentality, and it's a loss of traditions. And I actually do think for all of us, that's quite hard.
Oh, well, then we find how religious, quote,
we are. We do, because reorder is bravery.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, isn't it? Because of how I was raised and sung in choirs for years, and therefore there were rhythms of the liturgical church calendar that we were very much a part of in the choral societies that I was part of, because speech and drama and all of that choral singing was a massive part of the community that I grew up in. And I sung first soprano and luck. I can't sing that high anymore, but I loved all of that, whether it was Handel's Messiah, or which is a big standard one. Verdi's Requiem, all of that, particularly carols. And we sung Christmas carols.
Mm-hmm.
It was this rich tradition of the sound and the swell of the sound and the descants. And then when I came away from that tradition, I grieved peculiarly every Christmas.
I completely understand.
And I still do, even though we're now at Easter. I still grieve not being able, I could actually be about it because it was so much life for me and belonging for me. And singing the descant of, I don't know, Hark the Herald, which is the highest of all of them. There's no way I can sing the descant of Hark the Herald anymore.
Or even a Destiny for Dailies or any of those.
No, but it meant something. It signified belonging.
Well, that's the thing. There's sentimentality,
yes,
which I think is sinful.
Yes. Okay?
But there is the remembrance of something that was identity and belonging.
That is
good because you can remember. I mean, carol services for me is a real positive thing.
Yes.
So I am gloriously and beautifully back into a feeling of warmth and belonging and home.
Because it's collective celebration.
Oh, it was amazing. Amazing. I mean, my favorite song probably of all time is a carol we used to sing when I was a child. We don't sing it anymore.
Which one?
Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown.
Wow.
I mean, if I could start to cry straight away.
Isn't it funny what it does?
Come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. That's the chorus
of it. Yes, that is a golden oldie.
And it's a beautiful piece of music. And as soon as I remember that, I remember the feeling of safety and comfort and security and soundness and feeling like I was bathed in truth and with people that I loved, all of that.
Yes.
But it is still part of who I am. But now I take that as, rather than being a resting place, as a springboard to the reorder.
Yes, and I think that must inform in this journey.
Yeah.
So you can understand now, if you've sat in that order, that the disruption is unsettling, and why disruption is unsettling when you suddenly go, there's more than this. But in the reordering, you are duty bound, I think, to make sure that the reordering has its wildness, its freshness, its creative genius of God, its newness. But the reordering must also provide for belonging.
Yep.
And it can't be so stupidly wild that there's no touch points of belonging, because within each reorder and each new order, there must be some things that are never lost of the kingdom.
Because they are foundational.
Because they're foundational, which is this place of how in this new day of wildness and this new visionary peace place, do we belong to him and to each other, which is the anchor that we spin around to be able to reorder a new order.
And that's why in that phase of reorder, getting hold of the unchangeable things and understanding those is really important so that there is the strong foundation. But then understanding what is, you can do anything wild from a strong place.
Yes. And
but
I think
if it's not strong and if it's not anchored.
Absolutely. And I think in all of that, Louise, that sense then that friendships in reorder and new order, by necessity of that, will change.
Yeah.
They always do. When you go through one of these cycles, friendships will just change because some folk just aren't able to go the distance. Mm-hmm. I can go the distance. Anyway, Disney. Lots to think about, and we bless you.
We'll finish with a song. You were going to go to Job 5.
Do you know what? We'll come back to Job 5 because Job 5 says resentment kills a fool. Job 5, verse 2, resentment kills a fool.
Envy slays the simple.
Yes, jealousy kills the simple, yeah. But that sense that don't get resentment in the process because you'll die in it and you'll move around the body of Christ in error. Well, we bless you, whether you're in disruption, whether you're in disorder. I hope you're in reorder because that's the season and new order. We bless you to navigate this change cycle well in Jesus' name.
Amen.
See you next time on What the Prophets Say. Hello, friends. I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app. and we have there exclusively podcast power resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the PowerTV.app.